Mark chapter 9. We'll be looking at verses 33 through 37 tonight. Hopefully you would agree with me that there are some things in life that are just necessary, right? One of them would be oxygen. How many would agree with that? Got to have a little bit of oxygen, right? A little bit of aqua, a little water, right? Some pork product that I'm not allowed to talk about. for some, that's not a necessity. For me, I try to find it every now and then. We all have necessities, right? And we all have the same necessities. Well, a necessity in life, a necessity in the Christian life is humility. All right? Humility. And we'll be honest with you, I can struggle with this. Throughout my life, as I was preparing this sermon, I was reminded of how prideful I can be. Of how opposite of humble I can be. That there's a few occasions in my life where I can see that pride. One was when me and Sherry first met. We met at First Baptist Church when it was downtown. And after church one Sunday, we went with a group of other people to the Piccadilly. I think that was the name of it in the mall. Anybody remember the Piccadilly being in the mall? Well, this young, I think I was 18 by then. This young 18-year-old, fresh out of Marine Corps boot camp, not too far out of that, fresh from Mississippi, with all the wisdom I could bring with me, had never been to a Piccadilly. I'd been to a Sizzler, though, growing up, and that was a big deal. And I never had to pay at the Sizzler. I never paid at a Piccadilly till then. So I go in there thinking, well, this must be a buffet. And they got all kinds of things out there for me to grab. I'll take one of that and two of those. And, oh, you got ribeye. I love ribeye. Bring it on. So I order all this food, and we get down. You know the Piccadilly, for those who have been there. We get down toward the cash register, and the lady behind the cash register had big eyes. I just thought, maybe she likes how I look, you know. Pride again, right? Well, she rings up all the food, and $25 later... See, I went in there trying to impress Sherry. I felt like a fool. I ate every bit of it, though. I guarantee it. All right, $25 later. I've had occasions like there was another one in recent years. Many of you know it. I've used that illustration where I built a swing set in our backyard. And in the process of building that swing set by myself and hanging that large beam, I got a ladder stuck, all right, where the beam was running through the ladder, okay? Oh, such pride. I managed to get that swing set built and thought I'd done something great. I hung on it, swung on it like a monkey, thought I was the greatest thing in the world. And then the Lord brought me back down when I realized I had put the beam through the steps on the ladder. And I was going to have to cut the ladder up or the beam up or something to get it undone. Pride, right? We all struggle with it, don't we? Let's be honest. If you don't, you're prideful. The title of tonight's message, I've changed it a couple times, so Brother Jim's got one title. Use that one, brother, all right? I got another one, humility. You have to have it. Or we could say greatness begins with humility. Our Lord, in this passage, is trying to teach His disciples humility. They were men of pride, just like you and I, and He has to teach them humility. So, and Jesus is teaching His disciples that you must be willing to serve one another instead of seeking to be served. See, they wanted to know who was going to be the greatest in the kingdom. They wanted to know who was going to be the executive officer. They wanted to know who was going to be the next in line behind Jesus. They wanted to know who was going to sit on Jesus' right hand or His left hand, right? They wanted to be the head honcho right after Jesus. And our Lord is having to teach them that is not a position for them. You need to take on the position of a servant. See, we must also, like our Lord's teaching, we must seek to serve one another instead of seeking to be served. All too often, I desire for others to serve me. That is not the position of a follower of Christ. A follower of Christ takes on the position of serving others. So instead of seeking to be served, let us serve one another by seeking to outdo one another in selflessness. See, God's economy is different than ours. In God's economy, the proud will be last and the humble will be first. In God's economy, those who want to be served will be last and those who serve others will be first. In God's economy,
Those who seek prestige, power, and position will be least. And those who seek first the kingdom of God will be greatest. We can look throughout Mark here. If you will, turn over to Mark chapter 8. And I won't read these verses, but I want us to see the context here. In Mark chapter 8, you can see how our Lord feeds. At the beginning of chapter 8, he feeds the 4,000. And then he continues to go throughout that chapter, and he heals a man that's blind at Bethsaida. And then in verses 27 through 30, by the grace of God, Peter has come to recognize who Jesus is, right? He says, "You are the Christ," in verse 29. In verse 31 through 38, our Lord predicts for the first time here, he predicts his death and resurrection. He predicts the suffering of the Messiah. They're on their way toward Jerusalem. And he's predicting that he indeed will die and that he will suffer many things at the hands of evil men. And in chapter 9, we see that our Lord brings with him some of his closest disciples at the Mount of Transfiguration, where they get to behold the glory of God, the glory of the Lord. And at the end, as we continue to go through chapter 9, they come down from that mount where they've beheld the glory of God. And they see that there was these folks trying to heal this boy that was possessed with a demon. And the disciples couldn't do it, but our Lord was able to do it. For a second time, right after that healing, our Lord does what? In chapter 9, verses 30 through 32. Our Lord again predicts and he tells his disciples that the suffering servant of God, the very Son of God, the Messiah, must suffer great things and will die and rise again. And then what is the next conversation our disciples have? Look at verse 33. And these are our verses we'll be in tonight. And they came to Capernaum. And when he was in the house, he, that is Jesus, asked them, "What were you discussing on the way?" On our way here, on the journey, on the road, on the walk, what were you talking about? Now, I got to insert, the Lord already knew what they were talking about. We don't inform the Lord of anything. He was trying to expose some pride in their heart. It goes on, verse 34, "But they kept silent, for on the way they had argued with one another about who was the greatest. And he sat down and called the 12 and said to them, 'If anyone would be first, he must be what? Last of all and servant of all.' And he took a child and put him in the midst of them, and taking him in his arms, he said to them, 'Whoever receives one such child in my name receives me. And whoever receives me receives not me, but him who sent me.'" See, our Lord tonight, or that day with his disciples and tonight, is trying to teach us humility. Humility. Humility is important. And I want to give us three characteristics of a humble follower of Christ. And I just want to, they're simple characteristics, they're simple statements tonight. Number one is this: followers of Christ pursue humility over status. Followers of Christ pursue humility over status. We see here in this passage that lowliness is worth pursuing. And we could say humility. Now look at verse 35. He says, "And he sat down and called the 12, and he said to them, 'If anyone would be first, he must be last.'" Another way to translate that is he must be lowly. He must be humble. That word last there, it carries the idea to furthest extreme in rank or value or situation, last, least, most insignificant. You know, I submit to you, that's hard for us, right? It's hard for me to be the most insignificant some days. Because all too often, I want to be the most what? You got it. The most significant. See, we need to humble ourselves. And our Lord was teaching his disciples, you need to humble yourselves. See, in our day, people are trying to teach our children, our youth, and even us that we need more self-esteem, right? I don't need any more self-esteem. I got plenty of that. I don't need to be built up anymore. I got plenty of that. I don't necessarily need to be torn down anymore. That's not an invitation, okay? But I don't need more self-esteem. I need more humility. James 4:6 says, but he gives more grace. That is, God gives more grace. Therefore, it says, God opposes who? The proud, but gives grace to the humble. John MacArthur would say here in this passage, he talks about how pride is this evil sin, and that pride destroys. It destroys self and it destroys unity. The pride among the apostles destroyed their unity. They were bickering. They were arguing with one another about who would be the greatest. Oh, now I know many of you have siblings. Did you ever argue with your sibling about who was the greatest? I argued with my brothers plenty about who was the greatest, and I showed them who was the greatest. Pride, right? Pride. No, we used to argue all the time about who was the best, who was the toughest, who was the strongest, who was the fastest. Right? You know, if we're not careful as Christians, we can do the same, can't we? We need humility. See, pride destroys. It destroyed everything. Turn over, keep your place in Mark. Turn over to Matthew. Matthew gives this same account, and I think it will be very helpful for us to see. Matthew, just start at, we'll just start chapter 16. I won't read all the verses, but we're just going to walk through a couple verses here in Matthew. Matthew 16. And at verse 13 through 20 here, we see that Peter confesses Jesus Christ as the Messiah, as the Lord. And then again, our Lord foretells his death and his resurrection in chapter 16. Come on over to chapter 17. The Lord takes up Peter, James, and John to the Mount of Transfiguration. This is pretty similar to Mark, right? Right, they behold the glory of Jesus Christ, the glory of God. They come down from the mount. Jesus heals a boy with a demon. Again, Jesus foretells his death and resurrection in verses 22 and 23 of chapter 17. Chapter 18. Let me read verses 1 through 5. This will sound very familiar. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus saying, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of God?" What pride, right? Who's the greatest? And calling to him a child, he put him in the midst of them and said, "Truly I say to you, unless you turn and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of God. Whoever humbles himself," that's lowliness, "like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Whoever receives one such child in my name receives me." Let me stop right there. Turn over to chapter 20 of Matthew. Matthew chapter 20. Look at verse 20. Then the mother of the sons of Zebedee came up to him with her sons, and kneeling down before him, she asked him for something. And he said to her, "What do you want?" She said to him, "Say that these two sons of mine are to sit one at your right hand and one at your left in your kingdom." Now, I'll just stop right there. Go back to Mark. Do you see what's happening among the ranks of the disciples? The followers of Christ, they're jockeying for position. They're wanting to know who's going to be the greatest, right? So our Lord seizes this time. He sits them down and teaches them, you must have humility. Humility, lowliness. Followers of Christ pursue humility over status. And lowliness, what I want us to see is lowliness is worth pursuing. Lowliness is worth pursuing. Not only that, though, lowliness is a prerequisite for receiving Christ. Humility is a prerequisite for receiving Christ. If a person will not humble themselves and repent of their sins, they will not be saved. That's what our Lord is saying in Mark chapter 9 in verse 37. Whoever receives one such child in my name receives me. Whoever humbles themselves, whoever repents of their sin, whoever lowers themselves receives me. Those who refuse to repent of their sins, those who refuse to lower themselves, those who refuse to humble themselves will be humbled. And they are rejecting the Savior. Now, in these verses 33 through 37, our Lord uses this great object picture, right? He invites this child up into his arms, right? And what we have to understand, in Jesus' day, children were viewed a little bit differently than our day. Children had no rights in his day. They had no status other than belonging to the father. They did what the father and the mother, but primarily what the father told them to do. They were dependent on the mother and the father for everything. They had no political status. They didn't have much of a social status. They had no vote. They were considered the lowest of the low. And Jesus is looking at the disciples, grown men, and saying, instead of pursuing a status, humble yourself like this child. People who humble themselves like those are the ones who receive me. See, lowliness is worth pursuing. And lowliness, that humbleness, is a prerequisite for receiving Christ. To receive Christ, in verse 37, is to be receptive of someone, to receive, to welcome Christ. Without humility, without humbling oneself, again, there is no receiving Jesus Christ. Is that us? Is that you tonight? Have you humbled yourself? Have you repented of your sins and placed your faith in Jesus Christ? See, lowliness is worth pursuing. Lowliness is a prerequisite for receiving Christ. Now, we live in a very competitive society, don't we? How many like competition? Just be honest. I mean, that's not an indicator of pride if you like to compete. All right, I'm not saying you're a prideful person. I like to compete with certain things, right? There are certain things I don't like to compete on, but I can be a very competitive person. Competition is not a bad thing. Competition can even bring out the best in us, can it? Yes, it can bring out the worst. But we live in a very competitive society. We live in a very prideful society. Again, I say it, God's economy is not like ours. And I'm not talking about money. I'm talking about the way God manages things. He manages things much differently than we do, correct? In God's economy, those who desire to be great seek humility. In our society, those who desire to be great step on all the others who seek humility, right? They'll do whatever it takes to seek that status. Oh, our Lord is teaching us, followers of Christ pursue humility over status. What status are you pursuing tonight? What are you pursuing tonight? Is it humility? Or is it to be the greatest? Secondly, followers of Christ pursue service over status. Service over status. Look again at verse 35. It says, if anyone would be first, he must be last. That's the lowliness or the humbleness. Last of all, and what? Our Lord adds something to it. And what? Servant of all. Just not last, just not least, just not humble, just not lowliness, but a servant of all. Followers of Christ pursue service over status. See, service is worth doing. Service to our Lord is worth doing. Now, that word servant there, servant of all, is one who gets something done at the behest of a superior. It's assistant to someone. It is to provide for the needs of others. Jesus is telling his great disciples to serve those who will never appear to be great in this life. He is telling them and us today to serve greatly those who are not defined as great. When was the last time we sought out to just serve those who could never serve us back? It's a heart check, isn't it? Because you know what? You know why it's a heart check for this old boy? There's a lot of times I find it very easy and very rewarding to serve those who I know can serve me back. Oh, serving the Lord is worth doing. And followers of Christ pursue service over status. May that not be said of us, that we pursue status over service. But may it be said of the saints here at Tar Landing, they pursue service to one another over any status they could gain. And our Lord is teaching that tonight. See, it's so much easier for me to serve someone that I like, someone that benefits me. And sometimes it's a lot harder to serve those who I know will never ever benefit me, or those who the world says are invaluable. Will we serve those? Will we be a servant? The Lord is saying, those in the greatest in the kingdom of God are those who will serve the least of these. David Garland, in his commentary, talks about the child here. The example of the little child is designed to check haughtiness in the Christian community. Real greatness means caring about people, not the people who are regarded as important, but simply people such as the unimportant child. I struggle with that some days, folks. I'm just being forthright with you. I read this passage and I see myself and those disciples. And I see the Lord rebuking me. Robert, pursue service. Pursue lowliness over a status. Warren Wiersbe would say, the world's philosophy is that you are great if others are working for you. But Christ's message is that greatness comes from our serving others. Now, we should not desire a status or a position. We shouldn't desire a status or a position in heaven. Our Lord is not teaching that in this passage. He's not teaching you that if you will humble yourselves more than anybody else and you'll serve more of the unimportant people than anyone else, I'll give you this great status in heaven. No, He's teaching us here that we need humility and that we need to serve one another. Greatness in the kingdom is not about position, but about service. So we've seen already tonight, from this passage, very simple truths. Followers of Christ pursue humility over status. If you are a follower of Christ tonight, your goal is to pursue humility over any status that can be given to you. Secondly, if you are a follower of Christ, and I pray that's every one of us tonight, you pursue service over status. Your desire is to serve others, to be a servant of all, to be used up by God for His glory and for the betterment of other people. And third and finally, it's not necessarily in this text, but I think it's implied here. Followers of Christ promote Christ over self. Followers of Christ promote Christ over self. See, the disciples wanted to promote who? Woo-hoo! It's me, right? It's me. Me. I'm going to be the next one in line. When the Messiah brings the liberation from Rome, right, in the back of their minds, when He liberates us, I'm going to be the next in charge. Me, right? I was reading this passage, and I don't know how many have seen the movie Finding Nemo. Anybody? A few of you? Well, in there, they have these birds, right, that all they say is, Mine, throughout the movie, right? Mine, me. Our society is full of me, isn't it? I tell you, I. It bothers me so. It bothers me so to see a pastor promote himself or his brand over Jesus Christ. Now, I want to be careful here, because if I'm not careful, I can do that. But as Christians, we should never, ever try to promote ourselves over Jesus Christ. You know, we live in a day where brand is everything, right? Athletes have their brand. They have their agents that push their brand. They have these saying and these different things that push their brand. Businesses are branded, right? And they have their brand, and their brand stands for certain things. Churches even today have their brand. We want to promote our brand. You want to know what brand we need to promote? We need to promote Jesus Christ. If they hear about Jesus Christ from Tar Landing or Bethlehem or Bethany or New Oak or whoever, wonderful, great, Jesus is who we want you to hear about, not us. The disciples underneath here were promoting themselves. Oh God, help us. Help this old boy not to promote self, simply to promote Christ. Will you pray that tonight for all of us, for me? God, help me not get caught up in brands. Help me not get caught up in self and what's trending and what's popular. Help me be consumed by Christ. Help me to promote Jesus Christ. Oh God, as your follower, help me to pursue lowliness over status. Help me to pursue service to others over status. And God, as your follower, help me simply to promote you, no one else, plain and simple. Tonight's message has been very straightforward, very simple. That's what our Lord was teaching. He was teaching pride is evil, pride is bad, humility is what we're after. My prayer for us all tonight is that we, by the grace of God, will humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God and we'll seek first His kingdom. Would you pray that with me? Let's pray tonight.